Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I bet you never heard it, right?
The things I did and my soul.
This is the real Elvis.
Would make the earth stand still.
This is like listening to Michael Savage in a nightclub as opposed on the radio. Okay, now let me pause right there. All right, thank you, Elvis. I appreciate it very much. Go back to Graceland, whatever. I found out that Elvis was a better singer than I thought he was, and I'm going to do a little music today, cars, music, movies, a little politics. Of course, you want my opinion on why they got rid of Hegel the Bagel, but it's not that interesting. One thing is for sure. I just played Elvis Presley's One Night of Sin, which was never really released as One Night of Sin. It was released under a more homogenized Disneyland version for the average audience, and it was a big hit under the homogenized version. But I found out who did the original song, who was Smiley Lewis. Smiley Lewis also wrote Blue Monday, by the way. Smiley Lewis was one of the unsung geniuses of this form of music, rhythm and blues, which is a very small genre except to those who understand it. But Smiley Lewis wrote Blue Monday. He wrote One Night of Sin. He recorded One Night of Sin. I'm not saying Elvis ripped off One Night of Sin, but he got it from Smiley Lewis, the real McCoy. It's like any other field. And I've always related to the underdog. Like, even in radio, I like Smiley Lewis's position as an underdog, a little known, the guy who did it all. And I mean, I create on Monday and Fats does it on Tuesday. So I understand who Smiley Lewis was. It's sort of the same story with Charles Darwin, who got the credit for the theory of evolution from Alfred Russel Wallace, who actually beat him to the punch, but no one ever heard of Alfred Russel Wallace, who was always my hero. But getting down to music, movies, cars, and things like that, I'm going to talk about music. I'm going to talk about movies. I want to focus on a movie called The Counselor, because it's a little-known movie. Didn't do that well. Ridley Scott directed it, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Brad Pitt. But the best part of that movie, it's about a drug deal going bad, and then the lawyer gets involved by accident in a drug deal, never did it before, and he can't get out of it, and they kidnap his wife. It comes down to a dialogue, one dialogue, which is the most unique in the history of movies that I've ever seen. Ruben Blades plays the cartel member, who's sort of like a diplomat of the cartel. And the lawyer, toward the end, calls him, begs for his wife's life because they kidnapped her. And then there is a monologue almost from the Ruben Blades character, the cartel leader, that is a little too esoteric for the average American audience. It's too wordy for the average viewer. Reviewers didn't like the movie The Counselor because it was too intellectual. The wardrobes were too good. They were designed by Armani for Penelope Cruz and Michael Fassbender. Everything about it was amazing. But Ruben Blades gives a monologue about you can't go back on things that you do in life. That comes directly from the Spanish poet Antonio Machado, who wrote the poetic verses used by the cartel kingpin. I'm going to get to all of these literary themes. I'm going to eventually get to Hegel the Bagel, because you all want my opinion of why he stepped down. And so let's start with a little news, because I think that they're going to... Oh, I didn't tell you what I'm going to do about cars today. I'm trying to buy a Dodge Hellcat. I have a number of cars, but I like fast cars and I like muscle cars, and I figured I want a Dodge Hellcat. Well, I found out there's a six-month waiting list. I want the car. It's got 707 horsepower. It does 0 to 60 in like 3.4 seconds. Quarter mile in 10.8. Top speed 199 miles an hour. And let me tell you one thing. This is a car that a progressive will not be seen driving. I want this car for Highway 101 in San Francisco just to get all of the Prius drivers so pissed off you can't imagine. The problem is I can't buy the car. I tried to buy it yesterday, and I was told there's a six-month waiting list. So the reason I'm going to talk about the car is because I want it, and I can't buy it, and I want it. I don't like waiting for anything. So if there's a Dodge dealer in America right now who has received a Hellcat in his inventory and is willing to sell it to me, give me a call at 855-407-282. I am not looking for anything for free. I don't want a discount, okay? So don't say this is Plugola. I'm going to pay retail list, okay? I want the damn car. It's that simple. Because the last time I had a Hemi was back in the You know when? I had a Chrysler New Yorker, like an old man's car, but it had a Hemi engine in it in the 1960s, which I completely wrecked. Yeah, one day I got sideswiped in Queens, New York. The car was totally destroyed, and I dragged it home with broken parts, front of the house on Utopia Parkway, and some motorcycle gang member bought it from me just for the engine. It was quite an experience. That was the last I ever saw a Hemi engine, but this Dodge has a Hemi engine in it, which is why I have to have it. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I appeal to the president of the Dodge Motor Corporation to call us and tell me how I can buy one of these in the next few days. So here we are. Why did Hegel resign? That's all you want me to do is the same old, same old. You want me to do salami and eggs every day. All right, you want salami and eggs. You don't want anything else. Here's the salami and eggs. Everybody knows that Hegel the Bagel, the defense secretary, resigned. So the question becomes a simple question, a very simple question. And here it is. Here's the politics of the day. Given that Hegel has pristine credentials as a far-left radical, why did Obama fire him today? Did the Joint Chiefs insist he goes because he's too weak to be a wartime consigliere in the faces of victories by ISIS? Or was Hegel removed because he's not far enough to the left? That is, not weak enough for the New World Order commie in the White House. I would suspect it's the latter, not the former. So in order to introduce the topic of Obama firing his Secretary of Defense, let's play the Godfather theme.
Michael, why are you cutting me out of the action?
We're going to be legitimate all the way, Tom. You're the legal man. What's more important than that?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Rocco Lampone building a secret regime. And why does Neary report directly to you instead of through me or the couple regimes?
How'd you find that out?
Well, Rocco's men are a little too good for their jobs. I mean, they're getting more money than the job's worth.
I told you this wouldn't escape his eye.
Mike,
why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom.
All right, so I don't know. At first thought they got rid of Hegel because he was too weak, but that's not why. He was as left-wing as he was. I mean, he single-handedly almost destroyed the military. And you know what's the heartbreak about the Hegel thing? Hegel was a certifiable war hero. He won medals in Vietnam for rescuing his brother, who also enlisted in combat in Vietnam, under fire. He went and pulled his brother back and saved his brother's life. The guy is a certifiably brave man. Unfortunately, he had a history after that of being a far-left political guy, which is why he was picked by Obama as the only Republican in his cabinet. And he was used as a hatchet man right after Leon Panetta got through ripping the military to shreds. So that's topic number one that I think you can relate to. The phone number is 855-407-282. We're talking about music, movies, cars, politics on the Savage Nation. But, you know, the love of my day today is I'd rather talk about that movie and the literary theme in that movie than anything else. I also like to play some Smiley Lewis. I played Elvis singing One Night of Sin, but now you want to hear the original version of One Night of Sin by the man who created it, the original, the black musician, the real McCoy, Smiley Lewis. Let's hear that. Unbelievable. Now, Smiley Lewis lived between 1913 and 1966, as I say, a New Orleans-based rhythm and blues musician. He was called the unluckiest man in New Orleans. See, he created slow-rocking small band numbers, such as the one you just heard. He also did a slow version of I Hear You Knocking, only to have Fats Domino come up behind him with similar music, let's say more popularly delivered. And as the journalist Tony Russell wrote, Lewis was practically drowned out in Domino's backwash. It's an interesting story. It doesn't mean that, Domino wasn't a great man, which he was. He was a great musician, still is. But this guy, I'd like to go back to the origins on everything. You know what I'm saying? I want to go back to the origins on everything. Do you know a song I play all the time on this show is called Blue Monday? Well, in 1954, he recorded the original version of Bartholomew's song Blue Monday, which became a hit for Fats Domino 2 years later. It's amazing to me. He then wrote I Hear You Knocking, written by Pearl King and Bartholomew, featuring Huey Smith on the piano. And one thing after another, whatever this guy did, someone else copied it and made more money with it, which is why I relate to this guy who you never heard of, Smiley Lewis. But before I end this opening monologue, we've talked about so many things so far in the Savage Nation, and only I could do this because that's what I do. It's all on my mind. I haven't even gotten to what I did this weekend, which is Nothing. It was a void, an absolute void, in which I started to paint watercolors again. That's right, you heard me. I have not painted watercolors in over 25 years or 20 years, and one day I'll publish them. You'll see what you think of them. They're not great, but they're interesting. And I did my first watercolor today, and take a guess what my subject was. So before I tell you what my first subject was and my first watercolor in 25 years and how awful it came out, but I enjoyed it nevertheless, let's go back to Elvis Presley, One Night of Sin, for one reason. We know for certain that Hegel was not fired because of One Night of Sin. As a matter of fact, the more I think about this, the more I realize this is strange, but not one member of the Obama cartel has left because of any kind of depravity or any kind of sin, which is very unusual for a democratic regime.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. See, he did the original. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And you never heard of him. Thank you very much, Smiley. Well, he's dead. Died in 1966, age 53. Bad life. Horrible life. Bad luck. They said he was the unluckiest man in New Orleans. Yeah, I mean, the guy was a genius. What can you do? That's what it is. And I stumbled on it because someone sent me Elvis singing One Night of Sin. And I hate to use the parlance. I was knocked out by it. I never heard Elvis do a song like that in my life. I play Elvis one so they know what I'm talking about. All right, thanks, Elvis. I mean, you know, like, I understand. I mean, they had to popularize the guy. He was too rough. By comparison today, that's nothing compared to the garbage that you see on the stage today. But in the 50s, when he was coming along to sing One Night of Sin with that rhythm and blues bump and grind background right out of a burlesque, you know, theater, and this guy was so handsome and so sexy to most of America that he almost killed people with his power. So they said they had to, like, you know, they changed the name of the song, they changed the tenor of the song, and it became a huge hit because white bread America was not ready for One Night of Sin. Now look how things have changed. But the thing is, it's interesting, you know, you get into the musicology of it. And in the same manner, I got to tell you, I got to look, see, like, I look behind the headlines in politics. I look behind a piece of music, I look behind a car. There's a history to everything, you get it? KSFO Radio, line 2, welcome. What's on your mind, my friend? Hung up already, gone. See, that's why I don't even want to go to callers. 855-407-282. The minute you go there, they're not there. So let me go to the movie that you never saw, called The Counselor. Ridley Scott directed this thriller. In it, you will see Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Brad Pitt. But the best role, I think, was played by Ruben Blades, who played the cartel chieftain toward the end of the movie. He is so slick in this movie, it's hard to believe. Now, the reason I'm talking about it is because the writing in this movie, The Counselor, forget it, I mean, the production was all over the top. The costumes made me want to go out and buy clothing. I have no idea that Penelope Cruz and Michael Fassbender's outfits were designed by Armani. But I realize that the reason this movie never made it because it's too wordy for the average viewer. Not enough murder and whatever. So the drug cartel jefe in the dialogue of the... Now, the movie was written by Cormac McCarthy, the Irish literary figure. However, the monologue that Ruben Blades says in this movie, let me explain. I got to back it up for you, okay? The character played by the lead, he's a lawyer, a legitimate lawyer. He gets pulled into a drug deal just by, you know, like, yeah, I'll do it. But he's not really in it. Then the drugs go missing. So the cartel blames him. They don't know if he was involved, but they assume he was. They kidnap his wife, played by, I think, Cameron, Penelope Cruz, right? And he's now trying to get her back. So he's going to all sorts of contacts in seedy Mexican places. Toward the end of the movie, he calls the cartel chief, jefe. And there's a dialogue that goes on between them that is so overwhelming that I have to play it for you. Play it, Neil. Maybe we have time for it. Okay, we'll have to do it after the shot. But what you're going to listen to eventually today on the show, because it's near Thanksgiving, cars, movies, music, Michael Savage, the real man, the man behind the microphone. Caminante, no hay camino, no hace camino al andar. What is that? It's a poem. Caminante, no hay camino, no hace camino al andar. Wanderer, there is no road. The road is made by walking. Wanderer, there is no road. The road is made by walking. Do you understand how different this is than the two-dimensional language that we're stuck with? It's the Savage Nation. Enjoy it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation, I have to interrupt my poetic flow. Grand jury reaches decision in case of Ferguson officer. Grand jury reached the decision, but they have not released the decision. So it's sort of a pre-climactic climax, which I hate, to be honest with you. They're going to let it out tonight or later in the day. And what's the point of talking about it, right? We know the animals are going to riot in the streets. I mean, even if Darren Wilson, the officer, is indicted, they're going to burn and maim things anyway. So what's the difference? And you want me to talk about it? I'll say what I said last week. A grand jury is not a jury. You don't know what a grand jury is? The people are so stupid, they think that it's the final decision. That's how moronic they are in the streets. A grand jury only decides if there's enough evidence to bring a case against somebody. So remember this, a grand jury is as much political as it is legal in its decision making. I don't know if you know that, but there are several elements in all decisions on a public level. We know the mobs want another Rodney King. We know that the animals in the streets want to burn and loot. We know that. We know that the white communists coming out of Chicago and elsewhere want to rile up the mobs in order to burn the city to the ground and burn other cities to the ground. We know that Al Sharpton should be detained in advance because he is one of those who threw fuel on the fire. But you know, the blame doesn't stop with Al Sharpton. The attorney general went down there and stirred up the mobs. The president had the mob director in the White House. So don't tell me that it's only Al Sharpton. They're all one and the same. Now, they have since quieted their rhetoric because they realize that their mouths have almost told the people to go out there and burn the country to the ground. So as I said, a grand jury decision is as much political as it is legal. And my suspicion is that, I don't know what's going to happen, but my guess is they'll say that they're going to indict him. Now, listen to me carefully. That's only step one. Now, what does that do? That undermines the mobs in the streets. What are they going to do, burn things down because they indicted him? Or they said there's enough evidence to bring him to trial? Okay, so then what happens? Then the animals in the streets are going to burn anyway? Well, good, so they'll go to jail for that. That'll be the end of it. Now, the officer cannot get a fair trial anywhere in the vicinity within hundreds of miles, in all of Missouri for that matter. That case has to be tried in another venue. It has to be tried in another state, probably North Dakota. And by the way, 50% of his jury has to be a jury of his peers. It should be white police officers. And by that time, the street animals will find something else to do with their time. Either deal drugs or burn things down or commit burglaries. That's all. End of story. Now let's go back to what I enjoy doing best, which is talking about the other things. The things I started talking about. Music, movies, cars. I mean, what, do I have to eat my heart out over this too? Can I go back to the movie? Raise your hand if you heard me say one thing so far today. Did you like me telling you that Elvis Presley's One Night of Sin was originally written and recorded by Smiley Lewis? Raise your hand if you like that. Number two, did you like me divulging to you that one of my favorite movies of the year is called The Counselor? Raise your hand if you know the movie, if you've seen the movie, and if you agree with me that the monologue about loss of life and loss of hope that appears at the end is one of the most astounding pieces of literary work I've ever read or heard. Okay, number two. Number three, agree with me. Like, how could you, such a sensitive man who loves so many sensitive things, why would you want a muscle car? Why aren't you driving an electric vehicle? Well, I don't know. I like what I like. I'm all, you know, I am what I am. So as far as the grand jury decision, forget about it. Someone actually heard me in the entire audience of millions of people. It's not Democrat, Republican. Democrat, Republican. Obama, shmamama. McConnell, shmanonnel. I can't take it anymore. One more day of it, I won't even have my turkey on Thursday. Eric on WABC, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Eric?
Yeah, I saw the movie last night too, Michael, and what I got out of the monologue by the drug kingpin was about acceptance, accepting where the counselor was, and living in the moment. He told them, you already came to a crossroads, you had the time to make your decision, you should have came to me then, but you didn't. So you have to accept where you are, and you have
Okay, his wife's been kidnapped, played by Penelope Cruz. He's dying to get her back. He offers his own life, and the drug kingpin is drinking his cappuccino and talking to him by phone, and he says to him, in the most poetic manner, there's no going back from things you've done with your life. But the way it is written, Eric, have you ever seen anything as poetically well done in movies? I haven't.
No, it was very well written, and it was very literary, and it was very well done. And like you said, that's probably why it didn't play well to mainstream.
No, it didn't play well because it didn't have enough shooting and outright stupid sex, you know, and nudity. It didn't have enough of the stuff that the average moron likes out there. What's interesting is that I was reading on this, and that monologue of the drug kingpin comes from the Spanish poet's writings, Antonio Machado. He wrote the poetic verses used by the cartel kingpin. And especially the line, Caminante no hay camino, no hace camino al andar, which means wanderer. There is no road. The road is made by walking. And that's taken from Machado's poem, Campos de Castilla, with Machado's reflections upon the prospects of his own life after he learned of his wife being diagnosed with terminal tuberculosis, from which he knew she would die within a year. And so the drug jefe uses this poem to inform the lawyer, the counselor, of his own impending death. And in the film, the jefe says to the counselor, you are the world you have created, and when you cease to exist, that world you have created will also cease to exist. I have chills up my spine as I say this to you, because I've never seen writing as good as this, especially in a movie. Eric, have you?
No, and it's all, once again, it's all about coming to peace, and like you said, moving forward with what you got. Otherwise, you're going to be dead in your tracks, and you're going to go insane. By
where did you see the movie The Counselor? You saw it on TV?
Late last night on one of the cable channels. I was half asleep, so I can't.
Right, I saw it about 6 months ago. It caught me by surprise because I never heard of it, and I didn't know. I said, "How could it have gone nowhere with Brad Pitt, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, and directed by Ridley Scott? How come we never heard of this movie?" And then the more I read about it, the more I realized it's because it's too intelligent for the average American viewer today, especially with let me stop right there. I don't want to go any further than I just said. Thank you for even noticing that I talked about it. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. Neil, let's get that dialogue going from the movie, ready for the audience to hear, and then we'll go on to calls about anything else, Chuck Hagel, alcohol and drug abuse spiking during the stressful holiday season. Oh, yeah, it's stressful. You don't know that. You don't know that the Thanksgiving holidays bring out more stress than you can imagine. Oh, yeah. People say, oh, I can't wait to get together with my family. Are you sure? Really? How many movies have been written about the stresses of family, the forced get-together? Making believe you're still pilgrims with the black hats. Let's listen to Ruben Blades in The Counselor.
We could meet someplace.
We're meeting now.
I'm not sure you understand my position.
But I do, Counselor. Actions create consequences which produce new worlds, and they're all different. Where the bodies are buried in the desert, that is a certain world. Where the bodies are simply left to be found, that is another. And all these worlds, heretofore unknown to us, they must have always been there, must they not?
What do you say? Are you saying this is a possibility?
No. It's impossible.
You said I was that man at that crossing.
Yes. At the understanding that life is not going to take you back. You are the world you have created. And when you cease to exist, this world that you have created will also cease to exist.
But for those with the understanding that they're living the last days of the world, death acquires a different meaning. The extinction of all reality is a concept no resignation can encompass.
And yet, And that despair, which is transcendent, you will find the ancient understanding that the Philosopher's Stone will always be found despised and buried in the mud. This may seem a small thing in the face of annihilation, until annihilation occurs. And then, all the grand designs and all the grand plans will be finally exposed and revealed for what they are. And now, Counselor, I have to go because I have to make other calls.
Savage.
Unbelievable. So he hangs up on him, and the guy is devastated. And he goes back to his seedy room, the counselor, in Mexico somewhere, and there's a videotape waiting for him. And he knows what he's in, and he's afraid to look at it because, remember, he's trying to save his wife who was kidnapped by the cartel. And he plays it, and there's a scene of the wife's body being dumped into a garbage pit in Mexico somewhere, just out of a bulldozer. It's unbelievable. So, you know, it's got subtle messages of violence in it, and there's a few violent scenes in it that I've never seen before, such as the way they... I don't want to give the plot away, but it wasn't about the violence in the movie. It was about the whole existential meaning of life as expressed in this movie about drugs and the drug dealing. And I would say Jean-Paul Sartre would have been proud of Ridley Scott. Because if you want to see a movie that has an existential theme, it's this movie, The Counselor. And speaking of existentialism and the extinction of life, we can talk about politics because... is politics really about life and death? Grand jury reaches decision in case of Ferguson officer. Well, case of Michael Brown, yes. His existence came to an end when a bullet entered his brain. The question is, why are we letting mobs rule in Clayton, Missouri? The answer is because we have mob rule in the White House, and therefore we must have mob rule in the streets. And yet, to his credit, I must say, El Presidente realized he was going overboard. And he gave a little speech over the weekend where he said, wait and see in Ferguson. Listen to clip 14.
You know, I'm going to wait and see how the response comes about. But, you know, what does make sense is for not just me, but my entire administration to work with willing partners at the state and local level to see how we can address some of these systematic issues.
Well, some of the systematic issues include... thousands of people who don't work in that community. Why don't you work on your state and local level to see what you can do about making them work for welfare? That would be something. Instead of worrying about the police. Why don't you worry about the bums in the streets who have nothing to do? Working with willing partners at the state and local levels would be telling your communist friends to get the hell out of Dodge and not burn the city to the ground, or you'll put them in prison. The only positive note that I saw in the whole Ferguson deal was that 100 FBI agents were sent down there, I thought, to harass the police. But no, they made an arrest over the weekend of two individuals with Muslim names who were planning or were making pipe bombs. Pipe bombs, P-I-P-E-B-O-M-B-S, pipe bombs from the peace-loving Ferguson protesters. Now, Giuliani got himself in trouble by saying something that many people considered to be rather truthful. He said white police officers wouldn't be there if you weren't killing each other. Oh, did he get in trouble for that? Former New York City Mayor Giuliani faced media web backlash Sunday morning after he asked why people protest the killing of unarmed Ferguson Teenage Michael Brown, but not black on black crime. He said 93% of blacks are killed by other blacks, Giuliani said, triggering a heated argument on NBC's Meet the Press. I would like to see the attention paid to that you are paying to this. Georgetown professor, someone I never heard of, a frequent pundit on one of the unknown channels, said Giuliani was applying a false equivalency to the situation of Ferguson, blah, blah, blah. He said black people who kill black people go to jail. White people who are policemen who kill black people do not go to jail. That's absurd. Now, that's an absurd argument. I mean, what do you mean, white people who are policemen who kill black people do not go to jail? You mean a black man committing a crime who gets killed is the same thing as a black man who's executed or lynched 100 years ago? This is the kind of stupidity that passes for rhetoric today on MSNBC. So Giuliani retorts and says, what about the poor black child that was killed by another black child? Why aren't you protesting that? Why don't you cut it down so that so many white police officers don't have to be in black areas? The man replies, when I become mayor, I'll do that. Giuliani says, white police officers wouldn't be there if you weren't killing each other. So we have the comments from the Meet depressed segment eventually, but I don't even want to go into this. If you look at Justice Department data, you will see that there's an awful lot of crime in America that is being swept under the rug. And you'll also see that during the period 1980 to 2008, 93% of black victims were murdered by someone of the same race. So you have to ask yourself, was Giuliani speaking out of turn, or did he have the nerve to say something that people don't want to listen to? I mean, the brainwashed masses. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The fact is, I find it very disappointing that you're not discussing the fact that 93% of blacks in America are killed by other blacks. We're talking about the exception here.
That was Giuliani on Meet the Press over the weekend, and he was roundly attacked by it by the commie liberal lunatics who say, how dare you cite the facts. You know, you want to talk about this horrible situation of Ferguson. Let's start with what we know for sure. You know what we know for sure? A 300-pound guy goes into a convenience store, beats up an Indian shopkeeper who is about 5'1". Look at the videotape. Steals stuff out of the guy's store, beats up the Indian, the immigrant's store, beats up the immigrant, steals stuff, pushes him around. Did you see that part of the videotape? You didn't see that part of it. The 300-pound innocent man, Michael Brown, we know for sure, beat up the Indian, pushed him around, stole his merchandise. That's A. You forgot that already. As to what happened after that, well, there are stories that he was trying to take the gun away from the cop. Because let me tell you something. Eric Holder's Justice Department is as radical as you're ever going to find. They've been down there doing all the digging they possibly could, and they have found no grounds for indictment. Period. End of story. Does that stop Al Sharpton from doing the dirty things that he does? No. Does that stop the street rats from wanting to burn the cities down across America? No. So what can I do about it, other than play Elvis Presley right now on the way out of the door on One Night of Sin? Because many of us think about One Night of Sin. Some do it and most don't. But even the most religious amongst us dream of it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, so the thing is bump and grind, real great music, very suggestive lyrics. This song was recorded in 1957 by Elvis Presley. It had been a hit for Smiley Lewis, the black rhythm and blues musician who I played in the last hour. But this version, although recorded in 57, was not released until 1983. Why? Because Elvis's manager and his record company were afraid about the suggestive lyrics. But Elvis loved it, and he continued to alter it, play with it during his spare time in the set of Loving You, right? And then he rewrote the lyrics and changed One Night of Sin Is What I'm Now Paying For into this. One Night with You Is What I'm Now Praying For. You get it? In other words, it became the Hallmark card version of the real Elvis Presley. I don't know why I'm playing it for you other than I like the music and I like authenticity. So I try to go to the authentic sources of everything. And that's why if we do the news right now, I did cars, no one called one word about the Dodge Hellcat. I can't seem to get one. I have to wait 6 months, and I'm not going to wait 6 months. We're reaching out to the Dodge Motor Company, and I'm looking to pay retail for it, by the way. But you can't get them. The reason I want it is because I want to offend everyone in Marin County, California, and San Francisco who drives an appropriate green car. I want this thing to thunder by them and give them palpitations. I want them to look upon it the way they used. Remember that car that came out? that Schwarzenegger first had? What was that car, that big car that came out that they hated? They used to, the Hummer. When the Hummer first came out, these rats on the left would key the cars, spit on them, hit them. Remember when the SUVs came out? They were such nasty pieces of work. Well, this car is like a Hummer, but it's just a muscle car. Reminds me of the car that, what's the guy who died with the movie Bullet? Steve McQueen and Bullet. Remember that movie Bullet? Filmed in the city, up and down the hills of San Francisco. So I'm trying to get my hands on a black Hellcat. I can't buy one, though. I tell them to get online. I'm not getting online. I don't wait in movie theaters. I don't wait in restaurants. And I'm not going to wait at the car dealership. So if you know somebody in the Dodge Motor Company, or if you're a Dodge dealer and you want to sell me one at retail, and I'm not looking for a discount, okay, that's it. Bingo. Now let's move on to the news, now that I've covered the fun stuff. I did the movie The Counselor. I explained the philosophical origins of the dialogue in that movie from the Spanish poet Antonio Machado, which I thought was interesting. How many people really care about these things? I don't really know. But, you know, if you're interested in cars, for example, don't you like to lift the hood? Don't you like to look at the injector system? Don't you like to see what makes a car run? It's the same with me. I mean, if I look at a movie, I want to know what makes it run. If I look at a political situation, I want to know what makes it run. So let's look at two political situations right now. One is Ferguson. Why are they taking so long? Two is the sudden announcement of departure, the firing, really, of Hagel. And that brings me to something I'd like to say. There are three possibilities being floated of those who will replace Hagel. One is the man I would love to see, the new defense secretary. For the first time in over 6 years or even more, I'd feel that we really have somebody in there, a warrior. And that is Senator Jack Reed, Democrat, Rhode Island. Senator Jack Reed would be the perfect solution to be made defense secretary. First of all, he's a former major in the 82nd Airborne. He's a paratrooper. Do you understand the difference between him and the chick that Obama's going to pick? You get it? Obama's going to pick a chick just because Obama's a left-wing ideologue who is so stupid that he's going to pick a woman just to say he made a woman the first defense secretary, further undermining our war on terror, further emboldening ISIS and all of our other enemies. That's my worst fear. The man to pick is Senator Jack Reed, Democrat, I repeat, Democrat of Rhode Island, former major, 82nd Airborne paratrooper. But he's going to pick the chick, and that's going to be a disaster. In fact, ISIS is celebrating right now, saying they helped knock out our defense secretary, to just show you. 855-407-282 is the phone number. The other issue, of course, the big one, which is the Ferguson decision. They've announced that they're going to, that they have a decision. But they haven't given us the decision. But the street radicals, the rioters, are getting ready to burn, baby, burn. They want another Rodney King. And then, of course, Al Sharpton has warned that he's got mobs in the number of cities around America. I have no idea the country I live in why they permit outside agitators to do this. So there's a lot to talk about. In fact, if you'd like to talk about these topics, the phone number, we have one open line at 855-407-282. We are expecting the Ferguson verdict. I can't say during the rest of the show, but it's coming down today or tonight. So get ready to rock and roll on the Savage Nation. What else did I want to talk about? Television now. I haven't talked about TV yet. Homeland, saw it last night. Then I followed up with The Affair. I thought last night's segment or installment of The Homeland was the best of all time. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I couldn't believe it. You know, they say suspenseful, heart-pounding thriller. It was unreal. It didn't stop. I mean, one scene after the other, trying to get Saul back and trading the terrorists, and then the ambassador's husband is the rat who, you know, switched the drugs. Unbelievably well done. I don't know who writes these things. I'm very impressed. The writing was just astounding, okay? So there's a lot of good entertainment out there, from political to actual entertainment. It's very entertaining, and I would say Obama's perhaps the most entertaining president in American history. We don't know what act he's going to perform tomorrow. Oh, I don't believe what we have right now. Really? Todd, WJR Detroit. Todd, what are you calling about? Is this really true?
This is true. I am currently in a Challenger 2015. It's not a Hellcat. We're not allowed to take those, but it's hands down the most phenomenal car I've ever driven.
Well, why can't I buy a Hellcat? I was reading that the president of Dodge said to his dealers, if you want to mark them up, go ahead and do so at your own risk, because we'll cut your inventory next year because you don't sell enough of everything else. We want those Hellcats sold, and we want them on the streets. I can't get one.
I'm an engineer. I'm not in marketing. But
all right, here's what I want you to do. Since you're calling from Detroit, I want you to go to the marketing department and tell them the famous Michael Savage, who loves cars and has a huge audience, wants to buy one.
Okay, I might be able to do that, but how would I get them to contact you?
Neil, we'll get your address, your email. Stay on the line. He's going to get it for you right now. I'm serious. I want one. What would you like to talk about? Rudy Giuliani? Did you hear what Giuliani said in the last hour? We'll get to that in a minute. Elvis, this is a good one. Andrew on WABC, go ahead, please. Andrew, go. Andrew. Where is he? Andrew. And dead. I see. I feel like a submarine about to dive. North Carolina W. I make sounds lately. North Carolina WFNC. Jason, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I like to preface my comments by first saying that I'm a young black man. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, my whole life. And the comments that Rudy Giuliani said was 100% true. Growing up, you know, we had police brutality. It was a reality. But the main reality of growing up in the inner city was being shot down by another black man. And that's just a reality. And it's sad that, you know, these things are not discussed. And it's an issue. It's almost like a taboo issue that no one wants to talk about. It's a reality.
No, it's a very tragic issue that you have to defend Rudy Giuliani. Think about that. Here you are, a black guy. You probably had to have your head on 360 degrees every day just to get through a day. I understand what you're saying in that regard. I understand it intellectually, but I don't understand what it's like to live under that stress and still come out the other side and make a life for yourself. That's the real tragic story.
Right. And I've since moved on with my life. You know, I joined the military. I'm currently in the United States Marine Corps. I'm taking care of my family. And another sad reality, Michael, is that, you know, and I'll say this, and I don't have a problem with saying it, I won't move my family back to Baltimore or any inner city for that matter. You know, I live in a majority white neighborhood, and I feel...
No, you don't have to say anymore. You don't want your son to go through what you went through.
Right.
No, it's as simple as that. I mean, but you're not alone with that. Whether it was a person from Italian descent who grew up in a tough Italian neighborhood, what they did was the first thing they did when they made any money was move their family to the white suburbs to get away from the ghetto that they grew up in because they didn't want their sons exposed to the same kind of crime that they had to live through. It's the same with the Irish. It was the same with the Jewish. They all left the inner city. So you're not really alone in that regard.
Right. And if I can make just another quick point, Michael, you touched on it a little bit earlier with the systematic issues. You know, I challenge any of your listeners to turn on any urban radio station, turn on any hip-hop radio station in the country, and I guarantee you the first song that you'll hear, there'll be songs calling women B's and H's and every other negative word in it. You know, we have an issue with unemployment.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, we know that very well, but we're not allowed to say it because we're called names if we say it. That the songs are all misogynist. They treat women like garbage. I don't know why the women don't say anything about it. Maybe they're afraid. Look, it's two societies, it's two worlds out there, Jason. And you've straddled both worlds, you know, now you're a Marine. Are you in the Marines now?
I am, yes, sir.
Well, can I send you a gift for Thanksgiving, a copy of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War? I'd like to give you a gift. Stay on the line. Stay in a line, please. I would like you to have that. I think that you deserve that gift from me. New Hampshire, Chris, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just calling. I was telling your screener that basically I sat on a grand jury number of years ago. We had to stay there for 10 weeks, one day a week, and we indicted 20 people a day. I don't understand why it's taken so long, like 3 months for this.
That's very... Now, explain the grand jury process to the audience. You're certainly not a jury. You're not trying the individual. What are you doing? You're sifting through the evidence to determine whether or not there's a case to be brought?
Right, exactly. The prosecutor just brings in whatever evidence he has, if he's ready to go to trial. And then you just determine whether the person is, you know, if there's an indictment, that'll happen. We're not trying anybody.
Well, wait a minute. So you're determining whether there's enough prosecutorial evidence to even bring the person to trial, to indict him, in other words.
Absolutely, yep.
So wait a minute, but does that mean that he's going to be convicted? No, of course not.
Of course not. No.
All right, so do you agree with me that the reason they're taking so long is that they're trying to craft their statement and their findings sufficient that they can indict him without condemning him so that the trial can be held out of state where he can get a trial of his peers and be found not guilty downstream? Is that a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. And I also think that they're just trying to inflame the public as well. You know, I mean, why does it take so long?
That's another issue. In other words, can they craft their statement sufficient that they have the grounds to recommend that he be indicted without writing it so that he will be found guilty?
Oh, that's hard to say.
So they're not writing a final determination then. What a grand jury is doing is saying there are sufficient grounds to indict the individual. That's it, period. Right. Nothing more than that.
That's it. Yep.
Well, I read that the federal Justice Department doesn't have enough evidence to indict the officer, Wilson. They have no evidence to indict him, that he was defending himself. That's the end of the story. But they know if they say that, the animals in the streets are going to riot and burn things down. And they got Al Sharpton threatening all over the country. Oh, yeah, peaceful, my eye. Al Sharpton has some peaceful history, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, look, we got a big afternoon ahead of us, whether it's during my show or another show. It's going to come down, and tomorrow's going to be another day in American history, another chapter. And it's unfortunate that we have such radicals running the country, because this would have not gotten this far if Obama and Holder didn't personally fan the flames. One man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
The fact is, I find it very disappointing that you're not discussing the fact that 93% of blacks in America are killed by other blacks. We're talking about the exception here.
That's Rudy Giuliani getting attacked by the usual suspects on the left, saying he shouldn't have said what everyone know to be a factual statement. And no one will talk about it. Instead, they want to focus on white police officers shooting black men. That's become the cause célèbre of the left today, and they don't even look at the data. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, all of you hipsters out there, is imagine a world without policemen. Envision living in Brooklyn, New York, without cops. Imagine living on the Lower East Side, where you're regaling in the beauties of the slums, paying $2 million to live in a slum, without police. Imagine living in San Francisco without police, or in Dallas, or in Houston, or Chicago. Try to envision a world without policemen, and then imagine what your life would be like. You see, they are the wolfhounds that keep away the wolves. And if you take away the wolfhounds, the wolf will be at your door, boys and girls. Or did they not teach you that in elementary school? WMAL in Washington, Jason, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, Jason. You're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
How you doing? Hey, I just want to talk about Ferguson really quick. What stands out in my mind with this is just a lot of this has to do with the fact that drugs, just like the Prohibition, have failed. This is creating communities that have turned against the police when they used to be viewed as something favorable.
I don't understand. They hate the police because they're interfering with their drug trade?
But because drugs are illegal. And in a lot of these places, this is their only form of income.
Right. Well, of course, the drug dealers are a large part of the protest movement. Take a look at the crowds. Of course, they're trying to bring down the police so they can continue to sell drugs. You can look at the crowd and see that. You don't have to be a genius to know what's going on. I agree with you. Now, mixed in with them are the moronic college girls and the potheads and the left-wing wobblies who are there at every riot saying the evil police, evil police, evil police. I understand that. But be mixed in with it are the drug dealers who want less police action in America. Of course you're right about that.
But so much of the hostility and so forth is a failed drug war itself, Like, you know, we're going to learn a lot from Colorado.
So what would you say? Legalize all drugs? Is that what you're saying?
How about this? If we decriminalize pot, we wouldn't have banks like...
Why don't we decriminalize all drugs, make child sex legal? What else would you like to legalize so there's no crime? If you make every crime not a crime, of course, then there's no crime. Where do you draw the line? Everything should be legal to the liberal.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
First and foremost, keep protests peaceful. You know, this is a country that allows everybody to express their views, but using any event as an excuse for violence is contrary to rule of law and contrary to who we are. If we do a better job of training our law enforcement to be sensitive to the concerns of minority communities, then over time, trust can be built, in part because minority communities typically are subject to more crime. They need law enforcement more than anybody. And there are a lot of communities in my hometown of Chicago, for example, who actually want to see more police in, but they want to make sure that the police are trained so they can distinguish between a gangbanger and a kid who just happens to be wearing a hoodie, but otherwise is a good kid and not doing anything wrong.
Okay, poor old Trayvon Martin again. Yes, again the same thing. Burn, baby, burn. Now, St. Louis, Missouri is in the area in which this Ferguson situation is about to unfold. Let's put it to you that way. And what actually is going on in St. Louis is something that you should know about. An article just came out on WorldNet Daily, Black Crime Explosion, America's Worst City Revealed, by a writer named Otway Burns. And the author of the article says St. Louis is home of the notorious knockout game, a random but racially motivated assault that has claimed at least six lives. The president hasn't noted that, nor the attorney general. St. Louis is 44% white and 49% black. But statistics, according to the article, show a racial imbalance in crime. Based on the city's official crime data for 2012, the most recent year which data are available, 97.6% of those arrested for murder were black and 2.4% were white. More than 82% of those arrested for serious crimes like murder, aggravated assault, and larceny were black, while just 17.5% arrested were white. Black males in St. Louis were responsible for the vast majority, 63.5% of crimes committed. Other groups contribute significantly less to the serious crimes in St. Louis. White males made up 17% of arrests. Black females were 14% of arrests. And white females, 5.3% of arrests. So there are strange imbalances in arrests, according to the article. Black females were arrested for 14 murders, compared with 3 white males arrested for murder. Black females were arrested for more robberies, aggravated assaults, and larcenies than white males. And he says these are just a few of the lowlights in a city on the verge of becoming, as U.S. News said, the most dangerous city in America. Consider one violent night in St. Louis last June when 18 people were shot in 7 different shootings. Headlines said, "Bloody night leaves many in St. Louis outraged." However, there is a reason for it. And the reason is that there are many feuds and disputes amongst people who won't talk to the police. And some have remarked that in the vast majority of these cases, people are using their guns to settle their own petty feuds. Local news reported on a shooting in a housing complex involving an AK-47 in which, quote, a black male armed with the AK came around the corner and started shooting at an 18-year-old woman and 4 of her friends. Juanita Sparks, age 60, of St. Louis, told reporters, "I am tired of thugs." Colin Gordon, author of Mapping Decline, St. Louis and the Fate of the American City, calls St. Louis, quote, the poster child of white flight. However, middle and upper middle class blacks are also leaving the city in significant numbers. That's an important subtext to this whole story. The topic came up Sunday in a Meet the Press interview with former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who pointed out that 93% of black murder victims are killed by other blacks. Now, we played that on the show, and I guess people are talking about that. That does not stop the agitators, both internal and external, from wanting to burn, baby, burn, not stopping in their tracks for 1 minute. Has the despicable human being Al Sharpton said, you know, in order to make sure this peace. I've called back my goon squads from the courthouses around America because I want peace. No, that agitator is looking to make as much as he can off of this, in my estimation. And yet, we see Obama talking peace all of a sudden. Maybe they realize that they could set off a conflagration in this country along the lines of a civil war that they wouldn't be able to control. Maybe it worries them because that could affect the Dems' chances in 2016. Everything is that. Or if you want to talk about why Hegel was pushed out, or if you want to talk about is Giuliani right, or if you want to talk about Elvis Presley and Smiley Lewis, or if you want to talk about the movie I picked up, The Counselor, or if you want to talk about that incredible, I think it's Showtime, Homeland. I thought it was the best ever. Does anyone watch it? Did anyone enjoy it last night? I thought it was amazing. And then I go right from that to The Affair, which is pretty good, too. It's kind of boring, but it's okay, The Affair. Kind of schmaltzy. I don't like the sex scenes. I never like orchestrated sex scenes in television or movies, to be honest with you. I could do without it. I have a good imagination. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of gratuitous to watch. You could just see the whole scene with the sheet and the this and the, it's, you know, like big deal already. It's the body. It's the whole story around the two bodies thrashing under the sheets that's more interesting to me. Okay, let's take some callers. WMAL in Washington. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Well, I don't have all the facts based on the shooting with Michael Brown. I firmly believe as a veteran police officer who has been involved in two shootings myself, that this never should have even gone to trial with a grand jury.
This is what I want to know. You're an officer. You've had two shootings in your own career, you say. Why should this have not gone to a grand jury?
Just based on the facts that I have received through your show and to the press, it sounds like it's what's called a clean shoot, which means that the officer had probable cause to shoot Michael Brown because he was in fear of his life or in fear of serious bodily injury from Michael Brown. And the only reason it's going to grand jury is because of the press, because of Al Sharpton, because of Eric Holder. And
why is that anorexic piece of offal, Al Sharpton? Why is he so powerful? How does an anorexic turd like him get so far and continue to have such a hold over the president?
Because of low-informed voters and people who do not take the time to actually research the truth or research all the facts.
By the way, what diet is Al Sharpton on that he went from being a rotund football, like a grotesque obese agitator, into this anorexic shrivel job? What's he suffering from, do you think?
I have no idea. Maybe he went on that gluten-free diet. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he went on let us say a truth-free diet, and he lost weight. But what does a grand jury do? It just determines if there's enough evidence to bring the person to a court. Is that it?
Yes, to see if there's enough evidence that the police officer was unlawful in his shooting, that he probably should have used a lesser means of force, or that he didn't have any reasonable suspicion or probable cause.
Well, let's start with the facts that we do know. We do know that the innocent gentle giant held up a store without a weapon. He beat up an Indian shopkeeper, threw him around the store. It's on videotape. Anyone who wants can see that. He robbed stuff from the guy's store. This poor immigrant tried to get the stuff back, this poor little Indian guy, and this Michael Brown threw him all over the store like a rag doll. So he committed two crimes, didn't he? Assault and battery and theft. Those are three crimes, so far as I could tell. So the Indian calls the police, right? The police arrive, and the officer sees him leaving and tells him to stop. That's where the trouble begins. Is that about what we all know?
Yes, correct.
Okay, now we hear the lying agitator saying he had his hands up. They were seen and proven to be liars. Nobody saw Michael Brown with his hands up. It's a complete lie, according to what I've read.
Yes, I agree. Same thing.
Okay, and by the way, if what I'm saying is false, then he would have been indicted already by Eric Holder, because they have federal prosecutors there trying every which way to Sunday to indict the officer based on not evidence, but upon hearsay evidence, and they don't have enough evidence to do that.
Correct. And the... When an officer is involved in a shooting, the standards they go by is not after the fact. It's, is that officer justifiable in shooting in that moment and time? So What we know is...
That's very interesting. In other words, it's easy for a college professor to come up with the idea that he shouldn't have shot him or this and that, but in the moment, it's another story.
Yes. Not what a police officer, but what a reasonable person believes in that moment in time, are they in fear of their life or serious bodily injury? So if that officer is searching for someone who committed an act of violence, a crime of violence, committed a felony, robbery, and now he sees a person matching the exact description, clothing, skin color, height, weight. So now he's got reasonable suspicion to approach this person who's walking down in the middle of the street, and he knows that that person has a propensity of violence. So,
did Michael Brown have a rap sheet? Was he known to the police?
That I actually do not know.
But the officer was looking for someone who matched his description for the robbery and the assault. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
That we do know.
Yes.
All right, and he resisted arrest, tried to grab the cop's gun away, according to the evidence we've all kind of been leaked. And this doesn't stop the street thugs from wanting to burn the city to the ground.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Look, the officer has gotten married, by the way, and he's left town. I don't know where he's living, but, you know, thank God he has a life. Did you know he got married a month ago? Isn't that wonderful to hear that his life went on? Congratulations to Officer Wilson for having marriage, and I hope that you get enough of a settlement from the police department to live happily ever after in Umenclaw, Washington, running a bagel shop. 855-407-282. Now we'll go back to the movie that I like that no one seems to like. Jack in Las Vegas, you didn't like The Counselor. Tell me why.
Well, I hate to disagree with you. A wise friend of mine once told me never argue with the guy holding the microphone, but...
oh, stop it. That's evil. Come on. Listen, one rule I have is I have a sign that hangs in my garage. Every time I get out of my car, it shows a picture of a sea captain, and it says the captain's rules. Rule number one, the captain is always right. Rule number two, if the captain is wrong, see rule number one.
Huh. Can I digress for a minute to Sharpton? I mean, this guy is more bizarre looking now, the thin Al Sharpton, than when he was a fat guy wearing the velour tracksuits and the medallions.
We know that he's a despicable agitator who's made his living as a racial hater and a racial divider. That is a clear statement that cannot be refuted. This is what he's built his entire life on. He has never produced a product or a service that anyone needs. He has lived off racial enmity from the day he was seen on the public scene. And yet, he is a confidant of President Obama and Eric Holder. We can only conclude that birds of a feather flock together.
Well, I don't think they're any different than he is. They just went to a...
Neither do I. As far as I am concerned, if Al Sharpton had won the presidency, we wouldn't have a different situation than we have under Obama and Holder. It's about the same result. So, you didn't like the movie. Why not?
Well, okay. I thought it was depressing, grim, slow-moving. There was just no humor in it. I like all the actors involved, but I just thought that they just...
But didn't you find the dialogue from the drug kingpin fascinating toward the end?
Well, yeah, that I liked, and I liked the part where they slapped that mechanism on Brad.
Oh, don't give it away. That's unbelievable. One of the worst deaths I've ever seen enacted in a movie in my whole life. I never saw anything like it. It was so horrible. You ever get a song stuck in your head that you can't get out of your head?
All the time.
Oh, did you ever get a horrible scene in your head from a movie you can't get out of your head?
That's the one. Hey, by the way, Homeland... you're absolutely right about that. I think it's the best show on television.
I couldn't believe this. I mean, how in the heck could they plot something and keep you on the edge of your seat like this? It was unbelievable.
Season is the best season of that series. I mean,
okay. Speaking of Homeland, do you then watch The Affair on Showtime?
I haven't started that one yet.
It's pretty good. It's not bad at all. I mean, some of the dialogue is good. It's written by women, so it's somewhat believable. And for that matter, you know.
Question. You mentioned something about performing marriages.
Yes, actually, I am now a minister. I'm proud to announce. And I do have the authority to marry people. Are you looking for me to come to Vegas and do an Elvis honeymoon?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm in my mid-50s, and I've never been married. But if you would perform the wedding, I'm ready to take the plunge.
Well, wait a minute. This is a little suggestive, but who are you marrying?
Well, I've been with the same woman for 15 years.
Oh, I was frightened for a minute. I thought you were proposing to me.
No. Not yet.
All right. I'll tell you what. We'll think about a June wedding in Las Vegas. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Speaking of St. Louis, I mean, I got memories of St. Louis that are amazing. 60s, I was a traveling salesman for a publishing company. Did you know that? And depressing nights in motels on the side of highways, and I would go out at night looking for fun. And I remember asking someone, where's the good music? And they said, well, the best jazz is in East St. Louis. And I did hear the best jazz of my life. Not only was the music, it was the way it was performed, where old musicians would come with beat-up musical instruments and beat-up cases and old clothes and just get up. And the sounds that came out of them was hard to believe a human being could produce that sound. So I'm trying to bring a little jazz into the show, a little music, a little art, a little poetry, a little science, a little politics, because I know what's coming tonight. It's going to be a heartbreak. And look, anyone can demagogue it. And I'm sure I'll do my share of it tomorrow and the day after that. As far as Hegel being thrown out, my only fear is they're getting rid of him because he wasn't left-wing enough. And this guy's Council on Foreign Relations, anti-nuke, anti-military. And what's preposterous about it is that he's actually a very heroic man, which we have to remember Hegel was given medals for rescuing his own brother in combat in Vietnam. Both of them enlisted when they could have been deferred. How he wound up a left winger is beyond me, but that's why Obama and him became friends. That's why Obama picked him. But apparently he was too muscular for Obama, so they're going to put in some chick now who really can do a job on the military. I say put in Senator Jack Reed, Democrat, Rhode Island, former major, U.S. Army, 82nd Airborne. I'll sleep better at night, and so will America, and ISIS will hide under their wife's dresses. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
First and foremost, keep protests peaceful. This is a country that allows everybody to express their views, but using any event as an excuse for violence is contrary to rule of law and contrary to who we are.
Yeah, well, now he's trying to all of a sudden be Mr. Peacemaker when he stirred the flames. As you well know, he sent Holder down there to stir the flames up, attacking the police. And it came out 2 weeks ago that he actually met with the protest leaders, so I don't believe a word Obama's saying. I think he's scared after the elections, after the amnesty for the 40 million illegal aliens that will eventually wind up on our doorstep because of that amnesty. He's afraid for his own party, and maybe party elders talk to Icarus. I don't really know. And then he lies in clip 23, and I think it's worth playing a clip 23. Listen to this one.
My own experience tells me that race relations continue to improve. If you think about
improve,
you know, just in our lifetimes, we're about the same age. Where we've traveled, there's no way to say that somehow race relations are worse now than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 50
they
years
are.
Ago.
They are. It's because you and Holder made them worse than they've been in my entire lifetime. The races were coming together and you drove them apart, and that's because, Mr. Obama, you have no choice. You know, it's the old story of the I won't say the rabbit and the hare. I would like to use another analogy. It's the scorpion and the frog, where the scorpion asks the frog to take him across the river. And the frog says to the scorpion, but won't you sting me once we get across the river? And the scorpion says, of course not. Not if you do me this favor. Well, the frog reluctantly puts the scorpion on his back and swims across the river They wind up on the other shore, nice and dry, whereupon the scorpion stings the frog. As the frog lays dying, he looks up at the scorpion and says to the scorpion, "Why did you sting me? You said you wouldn't." And the scorpion says to the frog, "Because I'm a scorpion." And so Obama knows only how to divide, not to unite. And as a result, race relations are worse than they've ever been in my entire lifetime. And he's made it so bad that they're afraid that Ferguson is liable to go up in flames, as well as 60 other cities. We are expecting any moment they're saying they're going to give us the actual results. We don't know if that's true. Another big story is the firing of Chuck Hagel. And another big story, which you haven't read about, is this. Listen to the headline. Captain of San Diego-based warship relieved of duty. There's a couple of astonishing elements to this story. A, he's an African-American commander of the San Diego-based amphibious assault ship, the Boxer. It's a huge ship. I mean, this is not a small ship. It's a major league position. And listen to why they fired this African-American commander of the ship, who started as an enlisted man at the bottom and worked his way up. Brown joined the Navy as an enlisted sailor in 1986. He became an officer in 1989. Now, they threw him out of the Navy and gave him a desk job in San Diego. So what'd they throw him out of the Navy for? You want to hear why? Because he yelled too much. He yelled too much at the little PC crew. He routinely used foul and abusive language toward crew members. And he engaged in inappropriate touching and questioning of women. Now, you want to hear what that consists of? I'll read it to you. He had a bad temper. Can you imagine if these rules that are being applied in the military today, which are coming out of the sick universities, can you imagine if our enemies, such as in Al-Qaeda or ISIS, had such rules? They wouldn't exist. So listen to what he did. If he found moronic crew members who weren't listening to him, he yelled at them. He yelled and he pounded his fist on the desk. And I guess they felt hurt. And I guess they cried. And I guess they went to human resources. What else did he do? He asked female crew members whether they were using birth control with their husbands or boyfriends. The reason he did was he didn't want to keep losing women due to pregnancy. So they said that this commander created a hostile, offensive, and intimidating work environment. This is right out of the left-wing universities in America today. But that didn't stop them from throwing out this man as executive officer, first executive officer, now commanding officer, on the Boxer. He is now a desk jockey. The report includes allegations that the commander, Mr. Brown, put his hand on the back and hip of female sailors. Now, what does that mean? It means that as he was walking with them, he probably gently put his hand on their back. That became sexual assault. Can you believe this? Brown was concerned about female sailors and junior officers using birth control because the ship had lost several crew members who became pregnant and could not deploy. But the women were upset by the questioning about whether they used birth control, and they thought it was inappropriate, according to the report. So one after the other, the fact of the matter is we have the university leftists who are ruining every element of America thanks to Obama. It's coming from the top down. As I've said to you, a fish rots from the top, from the head down. Now let's go to the other major news out there. And the big news, of course, is Ferguson. Ferguson decision pending. Press conference will occur at 30 minutes after the hour. That means at 5:30 Eastern. That means at 2:30 Pacific. I will be here for you. Ferguson decision will come down in exactly 20 minutes. And whether it's the actual decision, we don't know, or the press conference, we don't know, but stand by, because a grand jury decision has been reached in the case of the Ferguson shooting incident. The phone number is 855-400-7282. So let's now look at the firing of Hagel at this critical juncture in the war against the ISIS terrorists who are making major strides and are being very successful at that. Can we blame Hagel for it? Yeah, in part. Should we blame the commander-in-chief? Totally. It's Obama's doing. They say he's the most micromanager, the most of all presidents as a micromanager in the history of the Defense Department. So who's waiting in the wings? There's a woman who's Flournoy, whatever her name is, never heard of her. And then there's Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, who I would pray to God they pick, which means they'll never pick him. Jack Reed is a Democrat, but more importantly, he's a former major in the U.S. Army, 82nd Airborne, not a desk jockey, paratrooper. That's the man for the job. That's the man to force ISIS to go hide under their son's burkas. Because when we put an 82nd Airborne man in the Defense Department, you can bet they're going to be running and hiding. But I can guarantee you Obama instead picks Michelle Flournoy to replace Hagel. Worse yet, they're actually floating the name of Senator Carl Levin. Can you believe this? Carl Levin is the clown from Michigan who is seen with the glasses on the edge of his nose, always acting like he's a wise man. Let's pray to God they don't pick Levin. It would be a disaster to put a lobbyist like him into the position. Haven't we learned yet what that has done to our readiness? I'm afraid that Obama will not be able to do anything but what the scorpion will always do, which is to pick a woman irrespective of whether or not she is the best qualified for the job. If you get a comment on this, there's one open line at 855-400-7282 on the Savage Nation. Obama's amnesty will add as many foreign workers as new jobs since 2009, from the Daily Caller. From the Raw Story, we have a headline. Pope Francis names U.S. priest who hid reports of abuse to be the Vatican prosecutor of sex crimes. That's right. An American Jesuit appointed by Pope Francis to oversee the prosecution of priests accused of sexually abusing minors allowed a Chicago priest to remain in the ministry for years after learning of his history of sexual abuse toward young teenage men, reports the Boston Globe. The Reverend Robert J. Geisinger, selected by the Pope to be the Vatican's promoter of justice, was the second in command among Chicago Jesuits in the 1990s when allegations of sex abuse complaints were levied against the Reverend Donald J. McGuire. You see, McGuire was convicted in 06 by a Wisconsin jury of molesting two boys who reported him to civil authorities. He was also convicted on federal charges in 08 and is serving a 25-year prison sentence. In September of 2013, Jesuit officials in Chicago paid $19.6 million to settle a civil lawsuit brought by six men who claimed they were molested by a former priest. And there are many other stories out there that are too sickening to read, but that's what we have to do here on radio. Since I tried, music didn't work, movies didn't work, cars didn't work, musicology didn't work. Apparently the only thing that works is bread and roses. Maybe I should do a health segment while waiting for the decision. I think I'll do a health segment. As you know, I'm an expert in this field, and the fools out there who live on hamburgers and french fries and have heart conditions and will pay for their stupidity have no idea how dumb they are by not following advice that the most intelligent people have followed for at least 30 years. But I was researching migraine headaches the other day because I've suffered migraines since I've been a little boy. Now, I learned to control my migraines when I was 18 and took control of my own diet. I had suffered severe migraines as a kid. I'm talking so severe I would be debilitated. I had to go into dark rooms, blah, blah, blah. I found out when I was 18 and I read an interesting book called Zen Macrobiotics by George Osawa about the dietary influence on our health. And I was very amazed. I had no idea food had anything to do with health. I mean, being an American at that time, nobody in the average person had no concept that food had anything to do with health. People ate anything they wanted the way most stupid Americans do today. If you go into an average restaurant, they're as stupid as people were 100 years ago. You see obese people stuffing themselves with pumpkin pie. You see diabetics eating sugary foods and then taking a pill to control their blood sugar. You see people with heart attacks eating hot dogs. I mean, it's unbelievable what you watch going on, and you wonder why people are sick. Everywhere you go, you say they have the wine and the food. The next thing, oh, I'll have the tiramisu. Middle-aged people eating tiramisu like their children at a birthday party. It's insane. So I read George Osawa's book, and he wrote about different diets and how to control your health conditions through diet. And the number 4 diet or number 10 diet was all brown rice, which I couldn't stick to. But in doing this diet, I found out that sucrose provoked my migraines, and I was on the road to recovery. And since then, I've rarely had another headache. Now, I occasionally get them, and I know what provokes them. Stress has a lot to do with it. But are you aware of tyramine in foods? Raise your hand if you know what tyramine is. Right. I see some people out in the audience saying, yes, Dr. Savage, I know what tyramine is. Well, tyramine can provoke headaches that are so bad that they border on a stroke. And people don't even know that they're coming from the foods that they eat. What is tyramine and where is it found? It's an interesting subject for those of you out there who've ever had a so-called cheese headache. Now, raise your hand if you've ever had a cheese headache. Yes, I see some in the audience have had cheese headaches. I'm going to do a little tyramine, a little tyramine discussion for you on the Savage Nation, because they can trigger headaches, including migraines, and I mean in the most severe migraines you could ever imagine. And tyramines are found naturally in some foods. They're found naturally in some foods, and they can trigger a migraine. And where are they found? Smoked fish. I happen to love smoked salmon. I won't eat it anymore. Aged cheeses. You get sick from aged cheeses? Well, cured meats, in other words, nitrites and sulfites. And some types of beer. And you should avoid any of these foods. You should absolutely avoid them. How did they find out that tyramines provoke such headaches? It's an interesting story. Back in the 50s, there was an antidepressant called Mayo inhibitors. I remember reading that in pharmacology. It was a huge breakthrough. In the 1950s, antidepressant drugs that hit the market that inhibited MAO, monoamine oxidase. And what's interesting is that this enzyme, monoamine oxidase, helps process tyramine, right? So these antidepressant drugs go on the market. And these drugs, these Mayo inhibitors, are still used today. They're called monoamine oxidase inhibitors. Now, they may be good in controlling depression. But what happened was, soon after these drugs were put on the market, some people began developing problems when they ate certain foods, and they didn't know what they were, but they found out they were foods containing tyramine while they were taking these drugs. And it turns out that they had headaches as well as high blood pressure from these foods and this drug. Why? Because if you take these MAO inhibitors, they can't break down tyramine properly. And as a result, tyramine gets into the bloodstream and raises your blood pressure. And that's why people taking these MAO inhibitors are supposed to limit the foods that they eat, which contain tyramine. It's fascinating. I mean, biochemistry, pharmacology used to be a favorite subject of mine. And you should know that these certain foods can trigger these attacks. Have you ever had a headache where, like, on the back of your head, you thought it was going to explode? Well, that could be one of these tyramine-related headaches. Another study has found that many people who had migraine with an aura had this triggered by cheese. And people don't quite understand exactly how that happens. So just understand that Chianti wines are very high in tyramines. Sauerkraut is rich in tyramine. Aged cheese is high in tyramine. Soy sauce is high in tyramine. Did you know also that tofu is to be avoided in miso soup? Did you ever go to a Japanese restaurant and eat miso soup and get a headache? It's not just the sodium. It's the tyramine. So there's a lot to be learned. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
And when you've been president for 6 years, you've got some dings, and yeah.
And you don't mind absorbing a few more if that's what it takes.
I think the American people, you know, they're going to want that new car smell. they want to drive something off the lot that it doesn't have as much mileage as me.
So Obama says that the American people will want a new car smell in 2016. And the pregnant question is, does Hillary give off that new car smell? The question itself answers the question. I don't think so. I think he just undermined Hillary Clinton. He said Americans want that new car smell. I don't think Hillary Clinton gives off that particular aroma. Ferguson decision pending, coming down in exactly 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. We'll have it for you right here on the Savage Nation. I'm staying here for you as long as I can. Ferguson decision coming down momentarily. The agitators are looking to burn, baby, burn. They have the matches. They have the gasoline. We'll wait and see if the good reverend will go down there and throw some lighter fluid on the fire right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So here we are. Why did Hegel resign? That's all you want me to do is the same old, same old. You want me to do salami and eggs every day. All right, you want salami and eggs, you don't want anything else. Here's the salami and eggs. Everybody knows that Hegel the bagel, the defense secretary, resigned. So the question becomes a simple question. A very simple question. And here it is. Here's the politics of the day. Given that Hegel has pristine credentials as a far-left radical, why did Obama fire him today? Did the Joint Chiefs insist he goes because he's too weak to be a wartime consigliere in the faces of victories by ISIS? Or was Hegel removed because he's not far enough to the left, that is, not weak enough for the New World Order commie in the White House? I would suspect it's the latter, not the former. So in order to introduce the topic of Obama firing his Secretary of Defense, let's play the Godfather theme.
Michael, why are you cutting me out of the action?
We're going to be legitimate all the way, Tom. You're the legal man. What's more important than that?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Rocco Lampone building a secret regime. And why does Neri report directly to you instead of through me or the couple regimes?
How'd you find that out?
Well, Rocco's men are a little too good for their jobs. I mean, they're getting more money than the job's worth.
I told you this wouldn't escape his eye.
Mike,
why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom.
I don't know. At first thought they got rid of Hegel because he was too weak, but that's not why. He was as left-wing as he was. I mean, he single-handedly almost destroyed the military. And you know what's the heartbreak about the Hegel thing? Hegel was a certifiable war hero. He won medals in Vietnam for rescuing his brother, who also enlisted in combat in Vietnam, under fire. He went and pulled his brother back and saved his brother's life. The guy is a certifiably brave man. Unfortunately, he had a history after that of being a far-left political guy, which is why he was picked by Obama as the only Republican in his cabinet. And he was used as a hatchet man right after Leon Panetta got through ripping the military to shreds. So that's topic number one that I think you can relate to. The phone number is 855-407-282. We're talking about music, movies, cars, politics on the Savage Nation. Grand jury reaches decision in case of Ferguson officer. Grand jury reached the decision, but they have not released the decision, so it's sort of a pre-climactic climax, which I hate, to be honest with you. They're going to let it out tonight or later in the day, and what's the point of talking about it, right? We know the animals are going to riot in the streets. I mean, even if Darren Wilson, the officer, is indicted, they're going to burn and maim things anyway. So what's the difference? And you want me to talk about it? I'll say what I said last week. A grand jury is not a jury. You don't know what a grand jury is? The people are so stupid, they think that it's the final decision. That's how moronic they are in the streets. A grand jury only decides if there's enough evidence to bring a case against somebody. So remember this, a grand jury is as much political as it is legal in its decision making. I don't know if you know that, but there are several elements in all decisions on a public level. We know the mobs want another Rodney King. We know that the animals in the streets want to burn and loot. We know that. We know that the white communists coming out of Chicago and elsewhere want to rile up the mobs in order to burn the city to the ground and burn other cities to the ground. We know that Al Sharpton should be detained in advance because he is one of those who threw fuel on the fire. But, you know, the blame doesn't stop with Al Sharpton. The attorney general went down there and stirred up the mobs. The president had the mob director in the White House. So don't tell me that it's only Al Sharpton. They're all one and the same. Now, they have since quieted their rhetoric because they realize that their mouths have almost told the people to go out there and burn the country to the ground. Is politics really about life and death? Grand jury reaches decision in case of Ferguson officer? Well, case of Michael Brown, yes. His existence came to an end when a bullet entered his brain. The question is, why are we letting mobs rule in Clayton, Missouri? The answer is because we have mob rule in the White House, and therefore we must have mob rule in the streets. And yet, to his credit, I must say, El Presidente realized he was going overboard, and he gave a little speech over the weekend where he said, wait and see in Ferguson. Listen to clip 14.
You know, I'm going to wait and see how the response comes about. But, you know, what does make sense is for not just me, but my entire administration to work with willing partners at the state and local level to see how we can address some of these systematic issues.
Well, some of the systematic issues include thousands of people who don't work in that community. Why don't you work on your state and local level to see what you can do about making them work for welfare? That would be something, instead of worrying about the police. Why don't you worry about the bums in the streets who have nothing to do? Working with willing partners at the state and local levels would be telling your communist friends to get the hell out of Dodge and not burn the city to the ground, or you'll put them in prison. The only positive note that I saw in the whole Ferguson deal was that 100 FBI agents were sent down there, I thought, to harass the police. But no, they made an arrest over the weekend of two individuals with Muslim names who were planning or were making pipe bombs from the peace-loving Ferguson protesters. Now, Giuliani got himself in trouble by saying something that many people considered to be rather truthful. He said white police officers wouldn't be there if you weren't killing each other. Oh, did he get in trouble for that? Former New York City Mayor Giuliani faced media web backlash Sunday morning after he asked why people protest the killing of unarmed Ferguson Mo teenager Michael Brown, but not black on black crime. He said 93% of blacks are killed by other blacks, Giuliani said, triggering a heated argument on NBC's Meet the Press. I would like to see the attention paid to that you are paying to this. Georgetown professor, someone I never heard of, a frequent pundit on one of the unknown channels, said Giuliani was applying a false equivalency to the situation of Ferguson, blah, blah, blah. He said black people who kill black people go to jail. White people who are policemen who kill black people do not go to jail. That's absurd. Now, that's an absurd argument. I mean, what do you mean, white people who are policemen who kill black people do not go to jail? You mean a black man committing a crime who gets killed is the same thing as a black man who's executed or lynched 100 years ago? This is the kind of stupidity that passes for rhetoric today on MSNBC. So Giuliani retorts and says, what about the poor black child that was killed by another black child? Why aren't you protesting that? Why don't you cut it down so that so many white police officers don't have to be in black areas? The man replies, when I become mayor, I'll do that. Giuliani says, white police officers wouldn't be there if you weren't killing each other. If you look at Justice Department data, you will see that there's an awful lot of crime in America that is being swept under the rug. And you'll also see that during the period 1980 to 2008, 93% of black victims were murdered by someone of the same race. So you have to ask yourself, was Giuliani speaking out of turn, or did he have the nerve to say something that people don't want to listen to? I mean, the brainwashed masses. The rules have been released from the so-called Department of Homeland Security, and drunk drivers, sex abusers, drug dealers, gun offenders are not top deportation priorities. Now, I can ask you how you feel about it, but you know why he's doing this, and you know what he's doing. You know exactly what he's doing. This is far more demonic than you could ever imagine. Oh, some of the Hispanic activists are celebrating, but you know who's not celebrating? Black activists are speaking out against Obama's amnesty agenda. And I have some of their quotes, because what you're going to hear now from the white liberal is that if you oppose any of what Obama did, you're a racist. Well, I guess that makes all these black folks racist, too. Joe R. Hicks, former executive director of the Greater Los Angeles chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, said, President Obama strode into the White House promising to give the American people the audacity of hope. What we are witnessing instead with his immigration agenda is an audacious grab for power and an evisceration of a constitution. And then he said, after these 5 million or so, what then? The magnet that draws illegal immigrants across the border just got stronger. Demetrius Minor, youth minister and motivational speaker, said this, Barack Obama really had the potential to be an iconic president. It's a shame he's now relegated to someone who will be remembered most for not only dividing a nation, but for circumventing Congress in order to push his personal agenda. Stacey Washington, African-American talk host. She said, well, black liberals, sorry, but I have to put you on blast. Every time this country has pardoned illegal immigrants, crime and black unemployment have gone through the roof. Don't believe me? Check the statistics. Sorry again, black liberals, you just got dumped. Charles Butler, African-American talk host. The fact is, President Obama will do with the stroke of a pen what 300 years of slavery, Jim Crow, and legal segregation could not. Destroy the hopes and dreams of millions of black Americans. His position on illegal immigration and reform is not tenable, given the numerous sources of information that warn of the negative impact of immigration reform on black Americans and low-income Americans. Have you had enough? Well, here's a little bit more. Christopher Ops, founder of the black social networking website MoveOnUp.org. Well, he tells his story in his own way. Shelby Emmett, lawyer and former congressional staff member. She said, I wish Obama would focus just 10% of his time on Americans and not illegals. Plenty of American parents lose their kids on a daily basis over silly things like breaking the law, she says. So there are the new black racists in America, according to Obama and liberals. Anyone who opposes Obama and the Hispanic mobs is a racist. So if you like your drunk drivers, you can keep your drunk drivers. If you like your wife beaters amongst them, don't worry, they're not going to be deported. If you like your rapists amongst them, don't worry, they're not going to be deported. You like your burglars? Don't worry, they're not going anywhere. You like your immigrants with an unlawful possession of use of a firearm on their record? Doesn't matter. Obama loves them. You like your immigrant who distributes drugs in your neighborhood? Don't worry, they're not going to be deported under the new DHS. I'm making this up. I'm almost tongue-tied. Were they arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol? Okay, they're not being deported. I'm not making it up. They're priority two aliens, priority two offenders whose cases are less urgent than criminals in priority one are not going to be deported. Now, priority one immigrants, I want to see what they are. Who would they actually deport? Here we go. Aliens engaged in or suspected of terrorism or espionage. Okay, they better look into the State Department for that one. Or who otherwise pose a danger to national security. I would say that you better start looking inside the government itself. It also includes aliens apprehended at the border or ports of entry while attempting to unlawfully enter the United States. What does that mean? In addition, any illegal immigrant convicted of an offense involving a criminal street gang or convicted of a felony, provided that immigration status was not an essential element of the charges targeted. What does that mean? Finally, any illegal immigrant convicted of an aggravated felony is included in priority one. What's an aggravated felony? You mean if you beat up your wife, that's not an aggregated felony? These people are crazy, by the way. They're illogical. They make no sense. So in other words, any alien convicted of a misdemeanor can stay here. Domestic violence, no problemo. Sexual abuse of a minor, no problemo. Arrested for burglary, no problemo. Unlawful possession of a firearm, no problemo. Come right in. You're a drug dealer, no problem. We need you in the Mission District. Well, you're arrested for driving while drunk and you ran someone over, no problem. It said that, or if not an offense listed above, one for which the individual is sentenced to time in custody of 90 days or more. So they've just written the law so that there is no law. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The big news today is the immigrant story. First of all, it opens up the door to executive actions when there is a Republican president. And I've asked you, what actions might a Republican president take through executive action that will just piss off the Democrats come 2016 and beyond? For example, what if a Republican president decided to rewrite the law or expand the law on taxes and eliminate, let us say, the inheritance tax? Just, it's eliminated by executive demand. Bingo! What's going to do then? Whether a Democrat's going to threaten to impeach him? I can give you five examples of what a Republican is going to do, or should do, by the way. If I were the president, I'd give you five things I would do with executive power now that Obama's opened the door to executive power unmatched in history. We're also talking about what is the real reason the defense secretary, Hagel the Bagel, stepped down. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the man has pristine credentials as a far-left radical. Why did Obama fire him all of a sudden? Did the Joint Chiefs insist that he goes because he's too weak to be a wartime consigliere in the face of ISIS's successes? Or, as I fear, was he removed because he's not weak enough for the New World Order commie in the White House? That's what I fear. He'll replace him with a woman who's even further to the left than Obama is. He left with Daisy BB guns in the 82nd Airborne after Obama gets through with the military. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com for all the news, views, and reviews. You can't get anywhere. michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture once reigned. That is, until we had Obama crush our borders, our language, and our culture. But he's just gotten started. 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. Buy your copy of Stop the Coming Civil War now for all of your holiday gifts. If you think the battle is over, you're mistaken. The battle has just begun. And if you want to help reverse Obama's executive orders, stop illegals, restore America's prestige in the world, there's no better way to do it than buying a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War for yourself or a loved one. Top right. Obama just got punked by the Chinese. Why? They won't honor the new climate change deal, but he will. They're laughing at him. They're snickering at him behind his back. Just 50%, not the media hype, 97% of scientists blame humans for climate change. Don't tell that to Obama the green man. Meanwhile, we believe Obama's undermining Hillary's chances at the presidency. The high-risk immigration gamble did it. She's going to be stuck with it. What position you think she's going to take? She'll go to the left of him to satisfy the left, and that's the end of her. Peaceful Ferguson rioters arrested in bomb plot. Two Muslim converts wanted to bomb the police. Islamo-Nazis recruit and exploit children to do their dirty work. Don't tell that to the United Nazis. I mean the United Nation. 9/11 lawyers accuse each other of wild sex scandals. A bunch of bums. Bums, law firms that stole billions, I mean earned billions of dollars in the 9/11 tragedy. Meanwhile, you missed this story. Black activists speaking out against Obama amnesty. Meanwhile, this story has been buried. Savage helps reunite soldier with canine partner. That didn't make it to Fix News. By the way, there's a new picture of Teddy, my dog, in his new outfit. He's wearing a beautiful checked suit on the right of the page, sitting up on his behind on a sofa like a human should. The only thing missing from this is a cup of tea and a pipe as he watches television. Cheerio. No, he looks so noble. People say, what kind of dog is that? And I say, he is a mini lion bred in Kenya. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. Get ready for Turkey Day, and God bless America.
Savage.